This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects all of us in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. But first, this episode of Crucial Tech is brought to you by Cyber Protection Magazine. If you're looking to reach the crowd at the RSA conference in April, we are a good option for that. We are going to be putting out a special issue, and we are looking for sponsors for that issue. Contact us at cyberprotectionmagazine.com. Welcome to Crucial Tech. This is Lou Covey in California.
And I'm Joe Vasquez from Texas.
And today we're going to talk about something that's just a little bit different. We're going to talk about marketing because that's something that we have to deal with as a publication and that we, Joe and I, have done over the years. Joe is our vice president of marketing at Cyber Protection Magazine. And we're noticing some interesting things coming up here, aren't we, Joe?
Yeah, Lou. So like you said, we've had a couple of meetings with a couple of companies, and the last three or four had taken a very similar path. And so one of the things we've always done is when we notice a trend, we kind of talk about that and chew on it a little bit and kind of try to figure out what's going on. And so we definitely see a trend going on right now. And so I thought we'd talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I've been a student of communication for half a century now. And lately, for the past couple of years, I've been keeping a track on the statistics related to the media. Okay, now everyone likes to say the media is dishonest, or I don't trust the media, as though the media is some monolithic entity. And it really isn't, because media is a plural. And there are multiple mediums within that. And each of them have a different level of trust. And that's what I've known for some time. But two organizations in particular, Gallup and Pew, have been studying trust in media for some time. And there have been some really interesting numbers that come out of this. Number one, in the civilized world, the vast majority of people get their information primarily from social media. And when I talk about information, I'm talking about the news, things they need to understand what's going on in the world. But the problem is that most of the people that do get their information from social media don't trust that information. And in reality, they don't really consume that. Well, what they do is they'll see a headline, which has actually been designed to increase engagement. And the best way to increase engagement is to make people angry. So that's what the headlines are designed to do, is to make you angry. And then you share that stuff and it just breeds distrust, because they know that those headlines, those articles are not trustworthy. And that's people are finding out, is that they cannot trust social media.
I think what's interesting in that whole thing you just said, Lou, is that I think people understand that. They know that, right?
Yes.
They'll tell you they don't trust it, and yet it is the quickest place to get your information, and that's why people use it. But I think by its nature and the fact that it is quick to get information there, there is this underlying kind of, you understand that details are being left out, because if details weren't being left out, you wouldn't be able to consume it quickly.
Right. And then the argument is the media isn't covering X. When the fact is they are, they're just not doing it well enough to actually give you any information.
But in there's detail, another, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's what brings me to my next point here, because about 6 or 7% of the civilized world gets their news, their information from print media. And 70% of the people that get their news from print media trust that medium. That to me is fascinating. So, and the thing is that when you read something, whether it's online or in a piece of print, it gets into your head better. I was talking to someone this morning how they were saying that when you go to an online publication, they have these hyperlinks within the articles so that you can follow how they've actually come up with this information, with this story, because you can follow their own research, which gives the reader a surety that what they're getting here has actually been properly researched. And
yeah, I think there's something to that also for physical publishing too, right? Like paper that you can hold in your hand, because there's this concept that, you know, it obviously costs something to print this. It obviously costs something, someone, some time or money to research it. So why would they put out garbage?
Exactly. Right. There is something about the printed word, mostly on paper, but also on your screen, that gives a certain level of surety that you've got the right information. But the thing is, that all affects marketing. And that's what I want to get into today, Joe. What are you finding when you talk to marketers about what they're looking for in media?
So yeah, let's talk about this little trend that we've noticed. So we've talked to, five companies now. The path that we've taken with them is very, very similar. So let's talk about that path and what's happened. You know, we've met with some of the business people, some of the business operations guys, the sales guys. They understand Cyber Protection Magazine. They understand what it is we do, and they like it and they want to do it. And they say, yeah, we want to work with you. We want to create some of these special editions. We think this is great. It's trustworthy. But they don't control the budget for the communication and the marketing. So here's where things get interesting. They are very gung-ho. They get it. They want to do it. They say, we got to bring in the marketing people because they own the budget. They bring in the marketing people, and the marketing people start asking questions. Now, what's interesting to me about the questions they ask is, well, I'll just say it. They're the wrong questions. They're the questions we've been asking for the last 50 years when we're talking about media, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's, social media, print media, television, whatever the case may be. They ask questions like, what's the size of your audience? How many people do you reach? How many eyeballs are we going to get? Do you put this on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and TikTok and whatever the case may be? So this is where it gets interesting to me, because while I am very proud of Cyber Protection Magazine and the growth, it's only a two-year-old publication. So the numbers are not huge compared to others.
Right.
What's interesting about that is the growth is phenomenal. The growth has been huge. It has been constant. It has been up and to the right every single month. So the growth is there. We can talk about numbers. That's great. But I always say, what is more important? And this is what I think the business guys get, is it more important to reach a million people if those million people aren't the right people and the people who are going to buy your product? Or is it more important to reach the 20 people who will give you $1 million contract each? Right?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And so far in the discussions we've had, we haven't really had anybody that would admit that that's what they want to do at the end. And, you know, there's a story that I've told many times. I don't think I've actually told it on the podcast, but when we talk about marketing. Years ago, when I was running a PR firm, I was talking to a vice president of marketing. And I was trying to tell him how you build your reputation, how you build engagement, and this sort of thing. And this was long before there was anything called content marketing. I was just starting to look into those areas there. And he ended up, said, well, I want to show you something. He opens up a drawer and he pulls out this sheaf of cards. And what they are, they were lead cards that had been collected at a trade show. And he says, these are the leads we got from our latest trade show. And I have to show these to my CEO to justify my job. So that's what I need to get from you, is leads. How can you help me to do that? And I said, well, hang on a second. Let me ask you this question. What are those doing in your desk? And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, those are leads. Shouldn't those go to your sales guys? Nah, they don't want those. The sales guys say there are only two kinds of leads, those they already know and useless ones. They don't know these ones, so they don't want them. So the whole point of the marketing process was to justify their existence, not to actually bring new business in.
So that's actually a really good point, because what was fascinating to me about this process was, it was interesting to me that the questions were being asked from the marketing team, right? We've had this shift in the way marketing and communications is done, and yet the people who should be the experts are asking the same questions. Now, it led me to think, okay, so either one of two things is happening, and I'd love to hear from some marketing people on this, because I got a feeling I know what's happening. So originally I thought, well, maybe they don't really understand how things have shifted, and that's why they're asking the same questions. As I dug a little deeper, I began to think, you know what? Maybe the marketing people do know how things have shifted, and maybe they would ask the right questions, but maybe it's actually ultimately the CEO or the CFO that are asking the old questions. Those are the people you would not expect to know the paradigm shifts and the new things that are going on. And that's where the marketing team would have to try to educate them. And that's a long process, the difficult process. So maybe they're asking the questions not for themselves, not because they think they're useful, but because those are the things the higher ups are going to ask them. So I would love to hear from some marketing people who say, yeah, either we get this, we already know this, we just have to ask these questions, or wow, we hadn't actually thought about the shift, and you know, maybe we should talk to you some more.
Yeah, that would be nice. But you bring up an interesting point, because it's been said for many years that the marketing division needs to have a seat at the executive table. And some companies do. They have a chief marketing officer, which is supposed to be someone who reports directly to the CEO. But one of the things I found is that even when they have the title of chief marketing officer, they don't often have the CEO's ear. So that's a problem that I'm not sure that we can solve as journalists, but it's something that needs to be brought up, I think.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a problem we could solve. I mean, we can't get their ear, but it's definitely something that could, you know, it could kind of define what the actual problem is, right?
Yeah.
If it's a function of, we need to educate some CEOs on what questions they should be asking, well, that's a whole nother podcast and something we could create. If it's not, and marketing people actually haven't realized they're asking the wrong question, that's a different channel and a different subject.
That's a good point. So what is it that these guys actually ought to be looking? I mean, we've mentioned, are you reaching the right people? Are you reaching the 20 people that will give you $1 million sale? Okay, that's a good point. But basically, I've always said that the way to reach people in any case is to get them engaged in the content.
Right.
So are we seeing that kind of content from the marketing departments?
This is what's really interesting about Cyber Protection Magazine, is that there are so many different. So maybe you could describe a little bit about what a special issue is first, so people understand that.
Okay. So let me back up a little bit here, because we do use social media. We do use online media. But we also have this new technology called print. And we're kind of surprised by this. Now, the thing is that this is how you have to reach people. First, you pique their interest, and you can do that with social media posts and things like that. And then you can draw them into your online publication, which is what we do. Our social media does direct people to our publication. But the thing is, reading stuff on a computer screen doesn't really engage the brain that much. And there's so many distractions. You know, you got email notifications and your cell phone's going off, and all these different things are interrupting. But when people sit down with a printed piece of material, they are making the decision to spend some time consuming this and putting their mind into it. It's the thing that Marshall McLuhan talked about when he says, you know, what print does is it engages everything about you, your emotions, your intellect, the sights, the sounds, everything. Your brain is putting this stuff together for you. So we do all three, but the print publications don't come out on a regular basis like other magazines have. They come out about a specific subject. Like the first one we did was API security. And that we did that last year. And the we got like 6,000 downloads of this publication. The first one we put out. Suddenly we realized that people wanted to be able to drill down into specific subjects. So that's what our magazine, what our special edition is about. We pick a subject like API security or cloud security, or one of the things we want to do is employment opportunities in cybersecurity. We want to do one on managed service providers. I'm thinking that we need to do one on the area of security operation centers, because these things are very popular, but they're ill-defined. And we need to be able to drill down. So that's what the special editions are about, where we find a subject, and some of the content in there is stuff that we already put up on the magazine, but we also expand those articles. And the idea is to get more people talking about these things, who are people who are all involved in the subject matter, and give multiple perspectives to it. And that gives something that people want to hold on to. So that's what we're trying to do with that.
And so basically the purpose is to define things, right? It's to define markets, it's to define products, it's to define opportunities. It's basically definition. So it goes very deep and very into detail. Everything is designed to be good for at least a year at minimum, right?
Right. So or even beyond. I mean, they're evergreen subjects.
Yeah. So here's what's really interesting, what I found, like you know, originally people came to you and said, we want to do this and we want to talk about our market. But then all of a sudden, we started finding different ways people were using this. So they weren't just using it to market and define their markets. They started using it to start funding discussions. They started using it to start partnership discussions. They started using it to start sales discussions. They started using it for acquisition targets. They started using it for all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what was really interesting. We actually, one of our editors went to a trade show, and as he was sitting in a, there was a conversation going on, an actual event, as this experts were talking, this round table, you noticed in the audience, people actually had this hard copy and they were reading it while the round table was going on.
Yeah.
So you can see that there's a lot of engagement. There's a lot of people digging into things. And that's what you were talking about getting all of your senses going. So there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of different ways this could be used, right?
Yeah.
So don't think of it in terms of just the 20 people who could give you a contract. You could, you know, it's funding, it's all of these things. But I think what's really interesting is because we're taking a different approach, these old questions don't work. So let me give you an example. If you said to me, look, there are six companies that I want to talk to, I want to start a conversation with, right? I may actually look at what trade shows those six are going to and send hard copies to those trade shows or to those people, right?
Right.
That's not going to show up in my numbers on my website, but you very well could have them carrying around a hard copy with your name and go, let me go and call this person or contact them and see what else is going on. So that's why the numbers are so different. That's why the questions you should be asking are different if you're really looking to target something specific.
Yeah.
There's something else really interesting that I thought about this too, which is the way technology has changed, right? We've been talking about this on a lot of different levels. There is a reason Facebook is hemorrhaging money in advertising. They're just not tracking things correctly. There is a reason Apple doesn't track things anymore. There's a reason Google isn't tracking things anymore. So it's very difficult to get granular now and dig down in all of these numbers. And we have seen on our sites, depending on the software you use, the numbers can be vastly, vastly different. So if somebody tells you they're reaching a million people, you know what? It's like one of those small stories on social media. You really can't trust it because it really depends on what software they're using and what the terms actually mean.
Yeah. And what we've been talking about, and this is the technical term that's used in this area, is engagement. And you can measure engagement to a certain degree, but mostly it's anecdotal. I mean, right. this morning I got a report from LinkedIn that Cyber Protection Magazine gets 31% more engagement on the articles we put on LinkedIn than any other competing publication. And that engagement is based on people liking it, commenting it, and sharing it. And the numbers we get for sharing content are off the charts. Now, I don't know what it is for other magazines, but that's what engagement is all about. Is that, right. You know, everything you were talking about, that you take this information and it can be used in multiple ways. And it's the question that I've always, the answer I give to these people is, well, who do you reach? I said, who do you want to reach? Okay. The companies know who it is they're trying to reach.
That goes back to the leads thing you said. The sales guys know who you want to reach. They know how far engaged they are. They know where to find these people. Sometimes they just need to get time to do it.
Yeah.
How do you get time to do it? Well, you have to get someone to give you that time. When you put a publication in their hands, a hard copy, they choose to read it and it gives you that time.
Yeah. And to me, that's good news for society in general. I mean, for the past two decades, we've moved away from actually engaging our brains in the information. That's what's caused the problem in political situations. That's what's causing the meltdown in so many technologies. You know, where it's just, they're realizing all this stuff people were saying about what they were wanted to do and what the stuff could do is pretty much bullshit. Companies are leaving Twitter. You know, the ostensible reason is they're leaving Twitter because Elon Musk is an idiot. But that's not really true. The hemorrhaging of advertising on social media started long before Elon Musk ever got involved.
And it's across the board. It's not just Twitter.
Yeah, it's all levels of social media that have been putting out this story that you can reach more people. You can engage more people with these platforms. And what companies are starting to find out, and this was reported a couple of months ago, that the companies are finding they're getting no return on investment in advertising on social media. So,
and I think that's,
what do we
you've
do
been
now?
Saying that for years, right? You've been saying that for years. Yeah. You might be reaching a million people, or somebody might tell you you are, but what are you actually doing with that? How beneficial is that? It's not doing anything for you.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, you and I, when we were working in that agency together, that's one of the things we found out with our biggest client. They had this website that they thought was, you know, was huge, was with tens of thousands of people were going there. And what they found out was, is that all they were, the agency that was running for them, all they were doing was measuring the number of times that something that was in the site showed up on a search engine. Not that anybody actually read it or even clicked on it.
Right.
And that's been passed on for some time. And the whole thing of search engine optimization is pretty much a scam, because the reason it exists is that there are algorithms to determine how you get things showing up on search engines. And there are ways to game that algorithm. That's what all search engine optimization is. But when you actually create content that makes people want to read it, that answers their questions, it takes you to a whole new level of credibility within your market.
Right. Right. And so I think you create that content and you know, that content that they want to read and want to share. But then also just point out, you're saying, you know, actually a print publication takes it to an even higher level.
Yeah.
So you really have to think about what you want to achieve.
So, Joe, here we are on Crucial Tech. We've got CEOs, we've got CIOs, we've got CISOs, we've got marketing VPs, we've got advertising people, we got all kinds of people that are paying attention to this. What is it you want to say to them?
I really think it comes down to, don't focus on the number, focus on your end goal. What is it you want to achieve? From there, you want to create that plan to achieve that, right? If your goal is to get a million eyeballs, great. But you have to understand those million eyeballs don't necessarily mean anything to your bottom line, right? And that's okay. Some people have that goal. That's okay. You'd use a different medium, you'd use a different style, you use a different system. But really think about what your end goal is and then tailor your plan to meet that goal. And I think a lot of people have, they've kind of thought about that in that I want these big numbers, but what does that mean to your bottom line? Because at the end of the day, we know companies, it's all about the bottom line, right? What is the most efficient, effective way to get to your bottom line if that's what you're looking to do? And if not, then come up with another plan that achieves what you want. But try to make sure you've got the right ultimate goal in your mind, what you actually want to do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to, you know, that's the very practical application of all of this. But now I want to talk directly to people who are consuming information. If you don't like what the media is doing, you need to change how you consume media. You know, people like to say that print is an old-fashioned medium, but the thing is, it does the job. It informs you. It gets you set up. So I don't care how many publications you read. You need to choose one and you need to spend some time on it. I mean, I read the Washington Post. I read the San Francisco Chronicle. I pick up two local newspapers almost every day. And I read them. I also read Wired. I read EE Times. I read LinkedIn. We use LinkedIn a lot. As a matter of fact, one of the things we've found in the past few months is that 90% of our social media traffic on the magazine and on this podcast comes from LinkedIn. We hardly get anything we get nothing from Twitter and very little from Facebook. So as far as I'm concerned, LinkedIn is a more reliable source of information than anything else. But it's up to us to be able to make the media what we want it to be. And if you don't trust it, then you need to find a different way of gathering your information. And it's not just listening to Alex Jones. You've really got to be able to dig into it and be able to follow the process. So that's our rant to start the first of this year.
You know, I think what's interesting there, Lou, it's an easy thing to say, right? But what that comes down to is time.
Yeah.
People consume things easily because they don't have the time to dig deeper. And so what I find is helpful for me is spending the time to find the publications that do the work for me.
That's right.
And then going to those. Because then for the most part, I have to do that research and that work one time.
Yeah.
Right. Now I will say there are times they fail me and then they go on the list to, I'll be more skeptical or I won't use that source again. But at some point you're going to have to put some time in, and that's whether that's looking at my end goal for my communications plan or the sources I use, it's going to require some time.
Yeah. So that's it for this first episode of the year and first episode of our seventh season on Crucial Tech. I hope you've gotten some information out of it that can help. That's what we're here for. If you have any questions or comments, you can go to cyberprotectionmagazine.com and leave us a message there, or you can leave us a 1-minute audio message on anchor.fm if you like, or even on Spotify, which is owned by Anchor is owned by Spotify. We are looking for sponsors for special issues that are coming out so we can do this deep dive into the area of technology and specifically security. So if you're one of those people out there looking for that kind of stuff, we're here for you. So this has been Lou Covey and Joe Basquez. Thanks for listening. This has been a Foot Washer Media production.